Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
Context of white supremacy, Gus T. Renegade, in for another broadcast, hopefully to share constructive information on the system of white supremacy. Today's date, Thursday, April 23, 2020. So I have been told. This is our book club, session number 3. Dr. Layla O. Africa, the late. Depending on which version of the book you have, The Nutritional Destruction of Black People. Nutricide, several different titles for the book, just depending on which edit you have, easily in the running for the worst book of all time. I'm so disgusted with reading this book for a myriad of reasons, name-calling black people on the very cover of the book that I have, name-calling black people throughout the text. We'll get some more of that this week. It's poorly edited. It's long list, not logical. In points, many things I could say. We had a person write in. Incidentally, I said something about this before. For people, you know, you find something constructive in this book, you like this book, you are not going to enjoy the session. If we're even able to continue reading this book, you're not going to enjoy it. If you're a fan of Dr. Africa or whatever it is, you think The Nutritional Destruction of Black People is the best book ever, well, you're not going to enjoy. You might want to find another program. We had a person who wrote in. They said Dr. Africa was a victim, so am I, and many others. His research led him to write Nutricide as a victim of white supremacy, hence VGQ. We should be consistent in observing the principle of VGQ because he wrote what he wrote. He made his contributions for 74 black years, but the system is still here. We keep learning every day, and no one is perfect in the issue of white supremacy and how to take it down as soon as possible and replace it with a system of justice. Yet it is important to point out flaws and misunderstanding to eliminate confusion and deception. VGQ. I will only say, pointing out, hey, this person is name calling other black people repeatedly. It's on the front cover of the book. Hey, this book is poorly edited, which makes it difficult to read. Hey, at points, this book is quite illogical. You're talking about black people on the continent and their eating habits and black people in North America. Clearly, these two enormously different populations are not eating the exact same thing. It's not even going to be possible for them to be eating the same thing. So a lot of things that are being presented in this book are not logical, don't make sense, don't seem to be constructive. There would be many things. I'm not going to say, oh, well, VGQ, if you just want to go around and name call black people, VGQ, he said what he said. No, I'm going to point out that I think that is totally incorrect. That is not helping us solve this problem. And we've done a lot of this for a very long time. And incidentally, I do not think there would be any point at all to having a book club if all we're going to do is read a book authored by a non-white person, black person, victim of racism, to say, well, he said what he said. She said what she said. She wrote what she wrote, and on to the next book. That would be totally worthless if that's all we're going to do. The reason for having a book club is to critique, point out, wow, where is there a lack of logic? Where is this not making sense in what's being presented? Where is there name calling, which I think the same person who made the concept of VGQ also made the recommendation of not name calling. Again, if you're going to have a book club, I would hope there would be more to say than she said what she said. She wrote what she wrote. He said what he said. He wrote what he wrote. I am not. We have never done that for a book club. It's not going to start on this one, especially if it is a reprehensible text. It's quite a bit more to say than just, well, he's a victim, VGQ. No, we can start with let's not name call and then go from there. Watch out for the name calling this week. Big batch of that coming up again. Context of White Supremacy, easily one of the worst books ever. And in fact, this week, because they're talking about viruses, this I would have to consider. Now, would I say this book is dangerous? You have to hear the part that we'll read this week, the part that we'll cover this week. Shorter reading session. We'll talk about that as well. Context of White Supremacy, our one and only audio session for the week. Whiteout. Whiteout, a white liquid used to correct black ink mistakes made on paper, is symbolic of nutricide, nutrition, or the science of how to nourish the body, mind, and spirit, is an African science. However, the majority of Africans are eating a Caucasian disease-causing diet, and they are dying from it. This may make them a healthy white person, but never a healthy black person. It is ironic that nutrition is an African-derived word, which comes from the Egyptian word menat. Menat means to nourish or nurse. In recorded history, one of the earliest uses of nutrition was recorded in the Egyptian 6th dynasty. The amulet of Menat, worn by Osiris in pyramid paintings, verifies this fact. Colorful, melanated Africans should eat colorful food. Color is very important in nutrition, especially for African people. Nutritionally, white-out food that has been conjured up in synthetic chemical factories called food companies is diseased. The Caucasian chemical foods and drug factories are solely interested in profit, not nutrition, and least of all, the correct nutrient level for the melanated, biochemically unique Africans. It is no accident that most grocery stores sell food that makes you sick and incorporate a drugstore section with drugs that suppress one's sickness while adding other sicknesses. Caucasians have not learned how to eat, what to eat, when to eat, how to prepare food, or how to combine foods. For example, combining sugar and starches, meat and potatoes, sugar and milk, oil and starch, oil and protein, fruits and vegetables, drinking and eating at the same time are all nutritionally wrong. Caucasian caveman food combinations. Correct combinations would be starches and vegetables, vegetables and proteins, fruits eaten separately, grains and cereals eaten separately, and never drinking while eating. Nature's naturally colorful food is not as valuable to Caucasians as the constipating and disease-causing bleached white flour, white sugar, white salt, fried and drugged foods. The Caucasian superstition that white food is supreme is because the white race is viewed as supreme. Processed white foods are very dangerous and nutricidal. Africans should avoid processed foods and try to avoid plants that Caucasians have bred. For example, oats, say white rice, grits, lima beans, chickpeas, black-eyed peas, pigeon peas, carrots, celery, cauliflower, beets, peanuts, pistachios, cashews, walnuts, pecans, and sunflower seeds. Nightshades such as eggplant, tomato, bell peppers, asparagus, potatoes, etc. should be avoided. The African diet should be less than 5% wheat instead of the over 50% wheat diet of Caucasians. Africans are not used to this mucus-forming, anti-melanin, high wheat diet. Africans should always eat natural foods, wild rice, short grain brown rice, string beans, collards, mustard greens, okra, avocado, chocho, kale, squash, bananas, oranges, papaya, plum, mango, passion fruits, cantaloupe, limes, plantains, red yams, watermelon, eat the rind, honeydew, pears, and whole wheat flours such as rye, mazaltarina, amaranth, quinoa, spelt, kamut, buckwheat, etc. The main object is to eat as natural as possible and as much raw food as possible. Follow the rules of food combining and do not mix protein with starch or sweets with starch. Combine vegetables with starch, protein, and vegetables. Eat fruits alone and never drink and eat at the same time. Drink 1 hour before or after a meal. Caucasian food combining ignorance creates diseases, and their grocery stores promote faulty scavenger food combinations. The white food area in the grocery store includes cakes, pastry, pasta, bread, pizza, snacks, ice cream, milk, cookies, dyed liquid white sugar, potato chips, etc. White food can remain on the shelf much longer than colorful natural foods. Natural foods are alive and will spoil. Therefore, they have a short shelf life, which decreases the store owner's high profit margin. Grocery stores sell processed foods, which must be embalmed with preservatives. Africans who eat embalmed foods are getting sick and are themselves becoming embalmed with dangerous toxic chemicals. The food store is, in reality, a funeral home. Grocery stores also have a pink area, which is perhaps the most dangerous and is anti-melanin. The pink color of the dead animal flesh is caused by their blood. Blood, be it red, clear, or gray, is usually 50% sewage waste of the animal. This includes fish, seafood, and fowl. Animal and animal's flesh is the most nitrites, deodorants, herbicides, and pesticides. The Caucasian diet is high in animal protein and fats, which prevents Africans from recycling proteins. High amounts of proteins are related to cancer, soft bones, and sickling of cells. The green area of the store, the vegetable, produce, and fruit area, has chemicalized, lethal, gas-sprayed, radiated, and plants cloned with human and animal cells. Plants mixed with animal flesh can cause genetic changes that are toxic. Fortunately, vegetables cannot hold concentrations of toxins as high as meat. Boiling vegetables, which should only be steamed, causes the nutrients to be washed away in the water, which will white out, dilute the nutrients. This whiteout causes disease and is anti-melanin. Color is essential for foods and Africans. Nutritionally valuable foods have color. For example, natural oils, olive, corn, canola, vegetable, have a brownish color. Caucasian food companies destroy nutrients with bleach, antifreeze, radiation, deodorants, heat, and filter out the nutrients in brown color, rendering the oil clear. Food that lacks natural color also lacks nutritional value. If the food is whitened, processed, it is naturally worthless. If it is white, don't eat it. It will white out your human life and replace it with disease, death, and a Negro mind. Cooking alters the color of food. Cooking has become an accepted way to denature, devitalize, clone, and process food. This causes food to become a synthetic, poisonous concoction that destroys humans to the same degree that it has been destroyed. In other words, you destroy the food and the food destroys you. It is nature's revenge. Cooked food was never an accepted dietary tradition in ancient Africa. Cooking allowed the warmongrel Caucasian armies to carry their own food supply. This increased their mobility. Cooked foods have the lowest nutrient content and contain toxic inorganic irritants. Eating devitalized, dull-colored cooked foods caused African armies to become holistically weak and sick from food-caused diseases. Africans who eat dysfunctional, degenerative cooked foods are unable and nutritionally raped to use their melanin to fight white supremacy and diseases. The Caucasians forced the practice of cooking foods upon Africans. This food cooking habit started during colonialism, slavery, and the societal disruptive invasions of Africa. Caucasian invasions destroyed crops, farms, irrigation, and the agricultural trade system. This caused fresh and ripe foods to become scarce, and dried foods such as legumes had to be cooked or sprouted in order to be eaten. Ripe bananas, rice, millet, etc. are partially green and should be eaten when ripe, not when unripe. Unripe dried beans are basically half protein and half starch in nutrient content. When cooked while unripe, they are an improper nutrient combination of starch and protein. Cooked unripe beans ferment and rot in the stomach, causing stomach gas. the Caucasian Information Age began with the race war invasion against Africa. The race war caused Africans to lose control of land, food, transportation routes, resources, agriculture, and their diet. Caucasians developed the cooked food habit to preserve food. Cooking enabled them to eat rotten and partially spoiled foods. Cooking food has caused Caucasians to be mentally sick, physically ill, spiritually perverted, and to have degenerative diseases. Cooking food destroys the quality and quantity of life. Over half the life expectancy is totally lost by cooking foods. Ancient Africans consumed an over 90% raw food diet and were free of disease. Adults had the constant energy of a child, required less sleep, had no rotten teeth, heart trouble, sex organ diseases, mental illness, colds, childhood diseases, diabetes, high blood pressure, arthritis, and lived to be over 150 years of age. Africans with high blood pressure believe they get the disease from picking up paper all day, i.e. paperwork, administrations, etc., while their enslaved ancestors on a mostly raw food diet did not get hypertension, high blood pressure, or stress from picking acres of cotton every day. The Caucasian's evolutionary ape-like cousin, the orangutan monkey, lives on a raw food diet and is free of disease and has a long lifespan. The orangutan's human cousin, the Caucasian, eats cooked food and is continuously diseased with a short lifespan. There is no safe cooked food, be it an apple or spinach. All cooked food is anti-melanin and anti-life. Added to cooked foods are drugs such as salt, white sugar, cooking oil, or animal grease, vinegar, alcohol, synthetic dyes, preservatives, and toxic spices that irritate the digestive tract. Cooked food perverts the taste buds and chemistry of the body. This perversion causes the African to crave more dead, flavorful garbage, which erroneously is called cooked food. Cooking destroys the live enzymes, vitamins, minerals, proteins, fats, fibers, water, and carbohydrates within the food. The heat from the cooking process causes food nutrients to become inorganic, addictive, coarse, harsh, abrasive, poisonous, toxic irritants, which are deadly. For example, cooked organic calcium turns into a coarse inorganic dead type metallic crystallized sand, which makes it indigestible. Africans who eat cooked food turn into Caucasoid animated cesspool of walking liquid manure. Cooked proteins stick together in broken particles of acid. Acid accumulates in the body and weakens all tissues, cells, and bones. Cooked starches turn into an inorganic crystallized sugar and charcoal. Cooked oils turn into acid, trans oils, and coat the internal organs with slime, causing cells to stick together. Cooked starches and sugars ferment in the stomach, while cooked protein putrefies. They are not metabolized, but are absorbed as irritants. Dead food feeds bacteria. Bacteria create more ammonia, acids, toxic gases, alcohols, vinegars, and poisons. Ironically, cooked food junkies season their food with the same addictive irritants the foods makes in the intestine produce, such as vinegar and acids. White sugar and white flour make vinegar and acids and ammonia. Digestion is slowed down, hampered, constipated, and suspended by cooked food. Melanin deficiencies, malnutrition, stress, worry, anger, tension, fatigue, fear, white racism, anxiety, and frustration. Cooked food basically stops melanin utilization and helps to keep the African biochemically addicted to Caucasian food and culture. The Caucasian culture and white racism experience is a record of what has been. Their history is a record of the past and past experience. Experiences are merely a record and teach nothing. Experience teaches the Caucasian nothing other than to repeat the past. wisdom teaches Africans not the trials and errors of experience learning, but the learning through wisdom and melanated ancestral genes. A solution to past experiences is part of the past event. The future belongs to the teachings of melanin's wisdom, not the teachings of experiences learning. A healthy African who eats naturally colorful raw food and health food can stop nutricide, catch AIDS, catch a cold, catch an infection, or catch ignorance. Colds, AIDS, acquired immune deficiency syndrome, and venereal disease are not contagious, but cleansing processes of the body. Sores, warts, bumps, blisters, mucus, draining of the nasal passage and lungs, rashes, inflammations, lesions, ulcers, or mucus drainage from the genitals are the body's way of getting toxic waste and dead cells out of the body. This is called a cleansing process or healing crisis. The body will use many different varieties of cleansing until it is free of toxins. Once the cleansing process is over, the sores, lesions, ulcers, and blisters will heal the nasal passage and lungs will be clear of mucus, free, and cellular waste. The body uses lesions, bumps, rashes, etc. to cleanse itself only if the bowel movements, kidneys, urine, and breathing action cannot eliminate liquid manure, mucus. Bodily cleansing is what Caucasians erroneously call catching a contagious viral or bacterial disease. Bacteria of all types are generally present in the body at all times. Contagious bacteria are found in people without diseases as well as those with diseases. The various bacteria populations increase in numbers when they have a fermented or putrefied, constipated food supply of uneliminated waste and dead cells. The bacteria growth increases as a defense reaction of the body. They are activated when toxins and waste accumulate at a speed faster than the kidneys, intestines, liver, lungs, and bowel movements can keep pace with. Specific bacteria have a favorite fermented and/or putrefied waste that it likes to eat. The Caucasians label the garbage disposal action of bacteria as the disease instead of labeling the cause of waste accumulations as the disease. They therefore treat the bacteria instead of eliminating the waste. Africans can die from Caucasian treatments of the disease rather than the disease itself. Drug treatment of a cold is estimated to kill over 20,000 people annually. A natural remedy for colds is to get bed rest, keep warm, and drink plenty of water. Usually within 2 days, the cold bodily cleansing is over. However, most Africans have more belief in Caucasian superstitions than the Caucasians. It is necessary that Africans stop trying to blame, scapegoat, such a virus or bacteria for illness they themselves cause. Viruses and bacteria are not in conflict with the body. They mythologically demonstrate that disease is abnormal and that Africans nutricidally use food to destroy themselves. The African adoption of the Caucasian superstitious belief that a virus, bacteria, or germ causes a disease instead of the Caucasian diet is nutricidal. This belief forces the Africans to deny their hygiene, health science, a science that teaches that your food is medicine and medicine is your food. Food in Caucasian society is a cooked, synthetic, chemically polluted concoction put together to honor perverted taste buds and crazy superstitions rather than health. The African acceptance of the contagious germ belief denotes faulty reasoning. Afrocentric common sense tells you that a contagious virus or bacteria is in the blood and can freely travel all over the body. If a so-called contagious disease, such as athlete's foot, were truly contagious, it could travel to the eyes, genitals, stomach, or brain, causing athlete's foot brain disease. It could start as athlete's foot brain disease, then travel to the feet. Contagious diseases can travel freely. Contagious diseases are given names based on their visible location, such as venereal disease, colds, AIDS, infections, venereal disease, and the fear of germs are all part of the contagious disease superstitions of Caucasians. It is apparent that a person cannot catch healthy, catch bad breath, catch ugly, catch a cold, fibroid tumors, or bumps. The Caucasian medicine science classified cancer, asthma, and pneumonia as contagious and then removed them from the contagious disease list. Lies change, but truth never changes. The United States Navy proved the contagious disease superstition a lie. At the end of World War I, the U.S. Navy had several venereal diseased infected persons have sexual intercourse with non-infected people. The contagious VD did not infect those free of VD. The Rockefeller Institute of New York City sponsored Dr. Noguchi's experiment whereby he had contagious infected people attempt to infect others. The results were that the disease-free people were not infected. Historically, Dr. David Livingston, an invader of Africa, noted that Caucasians with syphilis could not sexually transmit the disease to Africans. Despite the overwhelming scientific evidence and simple use of Afrocentric common sense, Negroes continue to believe in white medicine and die for it. They also believe that the white man's ice cubes are colder than the black man's ice cubes. These Africans are competing with Caucasians in destroying themselves. Contagious diseases are a Caucasian superstition because if you cannot catch healthy, then you cannot catch sick or AIDS. It is illogical for a person to be healthy enough to get a cold, contagious disease, and then become sick enough to get rid of the colds. You cannot catch the weather, colds, hot, partly cloudy, storms, snow, etc. The so-called contagious diseases of flu, chickenpox, mumps, measles, polio are still called contagious and occur among people with and without immunization shots. They recur year after year because the same diseased dietary practices are used year after year. A close look at a contagious disease such as AIDS can give clarity to this Caucasian superstition. An AIDS virus is a particle of a dead human cell. It cannot eat, reproduce, grow, move, attack you, or be attacked. It is not a plant or animal, and it is not alive. A virus is not active 1 month and inactive sleep the next, nor does it sleep between 2 to 5 years before it attacks a person. A virus is neither retrogressive or progressive. A virus is dead cellular particles. Dead cell particles come in all sizes and can pass through the pores of condoms. The body's cells are constantly being produced and constantly dying. Therefore, it is easy to find a particle from a dead cell and label it a virus that caused a disease. The cells are composed of many organs called organelles, which are similar to the human body's digestive, excretory, respiratory, immune, circulatory, nervous, and reproductive systems. The cell has a melanated nucleus, brain. The cell's genetic code is within a cell organ called the mitochondria. Genetic information is stored on the mitochondrion DNA and RNA. It is the DNA and RNA of the dead molecule particles that are labeled the AIDS virus. What is called AIDS is a cleansing process of the body, and what is called a virus is a dead cell particle. Sores, bumps, blisters that burst, pus, mucus, and open sores that drain fluids are the body's cleansing process. The cleansing process is called a contagious disease by Caucasians. They chemically try to cure, remedy, stop, or suppress the cleansing with drugs or surgery. The body gets overloaded with toxins, waste and dead cells and drains them out via the lungs, navel cavities, skin, and genitals. If the kidneys and intestines fail to get rid of waste and toxins, the body cleanses by using pustules, rashes, vesicles, diarrhea, lesions, fevers, colds, sweats, yeast, tumors, etc. The continuous eating, drinking, or smoking of toxic chemicals, meat, white sugar, bleached white flour, salt, drugs, legal and illegal, cooked foods, and taking of vaccinations and immunization chemicals destroys the immune system. Eventually, the immune system collapses and it is called AIDS and blamed on a dead cell particle labeled a virus. Ironically, Kaposi's sarcoma, the same sign and symptoms as AIDS, just as syphilis had the same sign and symptoms as herpes. The change of labels for diseases is based on the Caucasian economic profits gained from the treatment of sick people. Caucasian businesses make large profits by selling synthetic drugs, selling drug research, selling the policing of drugs, medical hospitals, and tracking the disease effects of their drugs and junk foods. The Center for Disease Control, the Food and Drug Administration, the World Health Organization, drug companies, hospitals, and secondary health support industries maintain the contagious disease stupidity. If they cannot blame a disease on a virus, they blame a bacteria. They create and maintain the public's fear of an evil virus and bacteria in order to sell medicines, all types of soaps, antibiotic deodorants, toothpaste, creams, lotions, and greases, all of which have not stopped an attack from contagious germs. The bacteria are present in the body at all times. They are essential for maintaining health and food digestion. African people have the largest variety of bacterial flora in their digestive systems, which allows them to metabolize food more efficiently. Various bacteria help to eliminate waste toxins and neutralize impurities. A specific bacteria likes a specific type of food to eat. A nutricidal African eats like Caucasians and eats 50% more wheat than can be accustomed to, should be less than 5% whole wheat. This causes specific bacteria to increase in numbers and become out of balance with the bacteria flora community. This creates a subclinical disease condition in Africans and limits melanin recycling ability. This weakens immunity, which alters the cleansing reflex, causing waste to accumulate, resulting in a cold, mucus congestion. Africans constantly catching colds are constantly committing the same Caucasian dietary error over and over again. There are approximately 20 million Americans who have contagious colds each day. It is never explained why the contagious bacteria or virus does not kill the remainder of the population, or why this contagious bacteria does not travel to the feet, brain, genitals, or heart, causing colds of the brain, genitals, or heart. If a cold were truly contagious, it would destroy the entire body, as there is no medicine to stop it. Caucasian medical science admits that it has no cure for the cold. This can only mean that the common cold should have killed all people. Added to this, Caucasian medical science tells people they can catch sick bacteria, but not strong, lively, healthy bacteria. Healthy bacteria could cause a person to catch more good health. The only good thing a person can catch is ignorance, if they believe the contagious disease superstition of the primitive Caucasian culture. Africans cannot compromise their health and be healthy. They cannot accept part of the Caucasian health science without getting damaged from part of that science. The contagious disease religious belief supports the Caucasian fear of germs, and this fear economically supports the industries that produce chemicals to kill essential germs on and in the body with toothpaste, antibiotic soap, deodorants, feminine hygiene sprays, douches, foot spray, deodorizers, antibiotic sprays, lotions, and shampoo. This supports the belief in purified, processed foods. They do not trust nature, nor do they trust Africans, because Africans are too close to nature in thought, behavior, spirit, and culture. Africans and Caucasians may take herbs and eat food, but Africans metabolize herbs and food differently and express diseases differently. Do not mistake similarities to mean sameness. The physical or mental similarities between the black and white races do not make them of like humanity or like in approach to health. For example, one can identify the many similarities or commonalities between the organizational structure, training, and discipline of the United States military and the African Liberation Armies. However, their similarities do not make them united in purpose or united as one. They are, by definition and belief, totally against each other. There are also similarities between the Caucasian religions and African spirituality and African science and Caucasian science, but by definition, they are directly opposite each other. The health science view of an African moves from harmony to harmony, while the Caucasian moves from conflict to conflict. For example, in a disease process, some tissue of an organ may get overloaded with toxins or waste, and the body's immune reflex moves to get rid of the toxins or waste. The African health scientist calls this a cleansing process. The Caucasian defines this as the body attacking itself or in conflict with itself. A person may accidentally put another individual's bacterial fluid into an open sore or the mouth. Bacteria can be transported from one individual to another. The foreign bacteria enter the body and the body has a chemical reaction. This chemical reaction is similar to the rejection of an organ transplant. The African identifies this as a cleansing reaction, while the Caucasian calls it catching another person's contagious bacteria. The Africans must honor their unique difference and know that there is no such thing as a contagious disease, or else they will remain in a disease state and move from one sickness to another sickness. There is nothing to catch but ignorance. The Caucasian defines contagion and his sexuality as normal. However, disease is abnormal and Caucasian sexuality is abnormal. Caucasians are sexually aroused because they are sickly. Their sexual behavior and diseases are an expression of sickliness, which they blame on their myth of contagiousness. Their definition of sexually contagious diseases overlooks that sex for them is a disease reaction. Caucasian sex operates on a bodily response to a disease condition created by food consumption, ignorance, famine, and wars. The Caucasian race prematurely begins sexual activity, puberty, and reproduction at an early stage in the lifespan because they are holistically sickly. Africans who follow the Caucasian junk food diet, prescription and non-prescription drug use, and lifestyle also begin sexual activity at an early age. Caucasians have sexual intercourse primarily to act out mental conflicts and to satisfy feelings of control, inferiority, ownership, and power, as well as to perform self-hatred sexual perversions. Early sexual activity is a symptom of a sickly race. A race with constant mild to severe degenerative diseases is on the verge of extinction. Normal reproductive sex begins approximately between 18 to 20 years of age or later. Ovulation and sperm production normally starts between 14 to 18 years of age. However, a sickly race will have abnormally early ovulation, low sperm counts, sexual perversions, and pregnancies beginning at 9 to 12 years of age. Premature reproduction is a species survival mechanism. This species survival mechanism is triggered in sickly insects, animals, and plants. This gives rise to the saying that a plant that is sickly will reproduce quickly. Early sex among a species with degenerative diseases and excessive non-cyclic sex is harmful and causes diseases. Disease such as arthritis, rheumatism, hardening of the arteries, varicose veins, constipation, or low levels of testosterone can prevent the orgasmic contraction of the prostate, uterus, and vagina. Consequently, men and women do not feel sexually fulfilled and have excessive sex in a vain attempt to achieve psychological pleasure or orgasm. A nutrient-weak prostate can swell and contract quickly, causing premature ejaculation. This can lead to infertility or excessive sex in order to feel fulfilled. A bodily disease affects the genitals along with excessive sex, which can lead to accumulation of toxins, waste, and dead cells. The genital organs can become an outlet for impurities and have a cleansing reaction, which is erroneously labeled VD or AIDS. Added to this, increased sex and premature reproductive ability is a post-ice age and post-war species survival response to increased numbers of people. The ice age and war exterminated a large number of people. During the Ice Age, Cold Age, famines, Ice Age wars, world wars, race wars, and Caucasian internal wars, an adrenaline response is required. Adrenaline is a hormone that the body releases to give extra energy and alertness for a fight or flight response to anger, disease, stress, frustration, depression, fear, danger, or white racism. Adrenaline basically stops the immune, digestive, and reproductive systems from functioning so that the individual can concentrate on fighting for survival. The energy stimulation for the sex, digestive, and immune systems is taken away and used for human survival. Therefore, prolonged adrenaline usage can inadvertently weaken the immune system. A typical Caucasian characteristic rebound reaction to famine, post-war, and post-ice age behaviors is an increase in sex and domestic violence. The Caucasian diet can cause sex and violence to increase because it is high in acidic foods such as wheat, oats, meat, and dairy. Foods cause mental and physical illness by draining the body of nutrients such as calcium, potassium, magnesium, manganese, vitamins A, B, C, D, E, K, and amino acid. Acidity weakens the primary tissues and muscles of the eyes, heart, ears, arteries, veins, and secondary muscles of the body. Muscles use carbohydrates, not protein, as fuel. If alkaline carbohydrates are not available as fuel, then the energy that would go to secondary muscles, i.e. legs, arms, back, is allocated to primary muscles. Consequently, the individual can lose weight, degenerate, lose muscle mass, and immunity. The loss of muscle mass is superstitiously labeled as the body eating itself or self-cannibalism. The acidic Caucasian meat-centered diet is contrary to the African alkaline carbohydrate-centered diet of rye, squashes, millet, corn, pumpernickel, wild rice, sprouted seeds, fruit, etc. Ancient African vegetarian laborers who built the walled cities, temples, colleges, statues, and pyramids ate alkaline carbohydrates and included figs, dates, onions, lentils, barley, yams, plantain, sprouts, pollen, tropical fruits in the diet. The cabbage family provided foods which could be used to alkaline the body, such as broccoli, green collards, dandelion, figs, kale, mustard greens, sesame seeds, turnip greens, watercress. Ancient Roman, Greek, and European athletes, laborers, peasants, and gladiators copied this vegetarian diet. Later in Caucasian history, the laborers and peasants started following the acidic cooked and raw animal flesh and acidic vegetable diet of the rich, victorious, and barbaric clans of rulers. A vegetables shortage caused them to start making meat taste like vegetables by using herbal seasonings. The contagious sexual diseases, along with colds and infections, are a superstitious myth created by Caucasians to scientifically hide their race's sickly disease and infertility predicament. It would be cultural treason for an African to accept the superstitious belief that the Caucasian diet is not directly related to colds, AIDS, infections, and death. Again, the only thing one can catch is ignorance if they allow the Caucasian to miseducate them about health, nutrition, food, and disease. Context of white supremacy. So we're stopping at 110. The next subsection is AIDS, and it's got a little list, causes of AIDS positive tests, and then it gives a list, and then it goes, Center for Disease Control data indicates false positives, 83% for the AIDS test, but that's where this little section ends. For me, this is page 110 going over to 111. So it has this list that starts at the bottom of 110 and it goes over to 111. All of this is still in chapter 2. Looks like it's probably maybe halfway through chapter 2. I'm not sure. Somewhere around there. Anywho, context of white supremacy. Dr. Layla O. Africa, the nutritional destruction of black people. We had listener wrote in, I forgot to read it last week, get it in now. Important because he did mention something about the foreword, which I wish I had included earlier on. So he writes, from last week's reading, I think the foreword section of the text was not read during last week's audio segment. It was not. In that section, the author states, I may refer to African Americans as Africans. His explanation for combining them together is that the health of all Africans is controlled by diseased Caucasians. Also in the foreword, the author explains his limited use of Caucasian references from what he describes as the scientific plantation and
information colonialism. From the archive broadcast, I think listeners had some questions regarding these issues. In spite of the author's explanation, I suspect the combining of the terms African, African American will be a source of confusion throughout the text. Indeed. From this week's reading. Number one, there were many concepts in this week's reading that I'm trying to process. Family as the first technology. Not sure if the African view of technology is clearly defined in comparison to the Caucasian definition. The melanin solar connection. African American family as a central holistic force. African marriage is a marriage of families, ancestors, elders, spirits, and community. Family is medicine. The author implies that family technology or return to traditional African family structure can counteract nutricide. I am not convinced that the author has provided evidence that this can be achieved in a global system of racism, white supremacy. Number two, the author posits a theory that Caucasians are psychotic and insane due to chronic lack of nutrients as a result of leaching of minerals from the soil during the Ice Age and cooking of food, which additionally removes nutrients. He characterizes racist behavior as insane. This seems to be at odds with the work of Dr. Welsing, who often challenged the notion that mental illness was the cause of racist man, racist woman, and racist child's behavior. She did. Number three. The author has an extensive discussion regarding his theory of the importance of the pineal gland. In one section, he states that in Caucasians, the pineal gland is calcified in 60% to 80%. Calcification indicates inactivity. However, in Africans, the pineal gland is 5% to 15% calcified, inactive. I think it would have been valuable to have a specific reference for his conclusions. His combining of Africans and African Americans made this section confusing for me. Interesting book. I look forward to hearing what others think about it. Much obliged. The foreword, I did not have a copy of this book at all when we read the first week. I said repeatedly we had a female investor. She is the only reason we were able to begin reading this book. She's the only reason we were able to begin it on time, because I didn't have a copy at all. You just had to pick something else, you know, until I got my copy in hand. She was extraordinary in doing the audio, but yeah, I don't think she read the foreword. I had the I had a PDF, and I included the dedication. I read that. I guess I'd have to look back again to see if I had the foreword as well. And I know it does. You know, there is a slight, like, just a little bit of variance depending on which version of the book you have. So that contributes as well. But at the end of the day, if I had had the book in hand, I would have probably read that forward, just because I do think that's important, him addressing that he uses African and African-American together. Just that is addressed in the forward, as well as his comments about not including references, because that's something that we brought up already. Having read that in the forward now, I still would have been making the same comments, but at least he does have that on the record. So, much obliged. Yes, I wish we had included the foreword as well. If you have the book, you can. It's not very long. It's like, I don't know, 2-3 pages. Pretty quick. You can go. But it is definitely worth, you know, checking out to move forward. Anywho, was I going to say anything else about this really quick? The references, I think that would have been good. And I was just going to say about the theory that racist behavior is caused by a lack of nutrition. I said last week Whole Foods was founded in 1980. Whole Foods was not founded for black people. It wasn't, hey, we got these food deserts where the colored folk live. Let's, you know, plant down a Whole Foods so that they'll, you know, put down that fried chicken and cornbread and come on in here and get some of this millet and kale and collard greens and, you know, get their Africanality back in their diet. That is not the case. So you have had like at least two generations, and in my view, probably more than that, because a lot of the eating correctly in Whole Foods and all of that stuff came out of the so-called civil rights movements, not white people saying, hey, white brothers and sisters, let's stop mistreating the Negro. Sure, it would be nice to get some great food that hasn't been all processed and chemicalized. Yeah, let's start a Whole Foods. Forget the Negro. That's about what happened. So all that is about the same time period. So you've got, I don't know, 3-4 generations of white people who have been eating organic fruits and vegetables and granola and vegetarian veggie bars and all the rest of that stuff. Juicers. That's been going on for a good time. You got quite a few generations of racists who shop at Whole Foods. That is not an excuse for them that, you know, they are nutritionally defunct. Like, no, I look, you got your sprouted beans and all the rest of it. You got your water filter. Like, you look like you're probably nutritionally OK. That is not an excuse for your conduct. I could be in error. The number again, 605-313-5164, the code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. Again, we had our one and only audio session for this week. I was going to get our money back for the canceled Toronto retreat from the Airbnb site, and I was having all these problems logging in and the Rona stress, everything else. And I was like, what the hell? Literally yelling at the screen, like, what the hell? Because I kept trying to log in, and it kept doing all these goofy security check bounce arounds. And I was yelling. And the last time I shouted at the monitor, I said, uh-oh, I should not have been yelling. And then about the next day, I was like, man, I think I strained my voice a little bit yelling at that freaking Airbnb. I did get the refund, so all is well, but I wish I had calmed my behind down and taken a few more breaths, but I did strain my voice a little bit, and I said, I was already not motivated to read, and now I don't feel as though I can read for 90 minutes. Like, I can even tell you, yesterday we did that program with Dr. Sylvia Hood Washington. We just finished her for the book club, and we got to the end of the program, and I felt the strain in my voice, like, wow, I've been talking a little too long. I'm not going to be able to narrate today, which probably means I won't be able to narrate very much this week. All is well, because I still do not appreciate this book very much. So just means I don't have to suffer through as much of it this week. Whoopee. The number is 605-313-5164. The code 564-943-pound. Press *61 if you would like to participate. We'll check the switchboard, see if folks have thoughts, observations. Again, if there are fans of Dr. Africa's work, think this is just the raddest book in the history of life, well, you know, you probably will not enjoy this book study session. Let's see. Retired firefighter should be with us. I'll nab other folks as I see hands.
This is basically a question inquiry about white people's history of eating organic foods, or, you know, vegans. What about during the 60s? There was a lot of younger white people, I would say in and around the late teens to 30s, who took to the hills and whatnot and ate natural, quote unquote, natural foods. Wouldn't that kind of like escalate their history back a little further than just, you know, the 1980s?
I think when I was giving my explanation, I think I was saying that a lot of that, you know, Whole Foods and all of that, it came out of the 1960s. The white people saying that they were going to go help the Negro and end racism. Them saying, oh, forget that. You know, we want to eat healthy, and let's get some great tomatoes, and I'd like some cabbage and cauliflower. And I said, that's exactly where Whole Foods, and in California is Berkeley Bowl and all of those little health nut shops, and you can go and get all the organic produce and stuff. That's where a lot of that stuff came out of, is the 1960s. So that, yeah, I address that. I was saying that, you know, you've got probably a good 3-4-5 generations of white people who have been eating that sort of food. So, and they still practice racism. So it doesn't, it certainly would not adequately explain their conduct.
Some of them call themselves or what's called hippies.
Right.
From what I understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Was that it?
Yeah. The different documentaries on that subject or close to that subject, they kind of like bragged about it. You know, how they, you know, healthy diets and you know, along with some probably some marijuana and some LSD along with it. But as far as the food that they, the food intake is similar to what is called today healthy food or vegan type of diet. As far as what I, and by now, those white people are in their 70s, early to mid 70s, or maybe late 70s, somewhere around the age of Dr. Leela, somewhere around his age.
Yep, absolutely. Like I said, seems like they are still dedicated to the system of racism, even with all of the proper nutrients and what have you in their diet. Absolutely. And worldwide, it's not like that's just, you know, here in the U.S. It's white people, you know, all over throughout the so-called planet where same thing. Yeah, let's eat better. We want to get, you know, food that doesn't have all the poisons in it and high nutrient content and not going to have us eating McDonald's. Some of that's in the McDonald's book where they were saying at about the same time, like, wait a minute, you're not going to stick McDonald's on every corner in our neighborhood. Like, we don't want all that terrible food. You put that with the Negroes. We want fresh produce, and greens, and farmers. They got documentaries. I forgot one of them is on Netflix. They got documentaries that break down a lot of this history where you can see the timeline and how it coincides with what was happening during the so-called civil rights movement. Let's see. I'll share a few of the notes that I have. We'll keep an eye on the switchboard if folks have any thoughts that they would like to share. He said this a few times in the text that we should avoid plants that Caucasians have bred, but he doesn't explain what that means. Like, there would, even if you don't want to give a reference, like, there would have to be more detail about what does that mean, foods that Caucasians have bred, because I mean, they grow all kinds of foods directly, indirectly. So what specifically about this list of foods that he gives, vegetables that we should avoid? Because I mean, he's got some like cauliflower I just mentioned. Generally, you know, beets, peanuts, carrots, peas, you know, what's chickpeas, garbanzo beans. Why? But he doesn't give a reason as to why. That's one where I said a lot of points in this book where I feel like there should be more detail than there is provided. Let's see. Because then he goes on and he gives another equally long list with fruits and vegetables. And it's like white people breed and produce a lot of these products as well. Brown rice, papayas, plums, mangoes, cantaloupes, plantains, red yams, watermelons. I mean, white people breed a lot of these products too. So what would be the distinction for avoid this group, don't avoid this group? It's not, yeah, it's not provided for me. He does include eat the rind. That is something that I have seen repeatedly. I didn't even know until I think very recently, like within the last 2 years or so, very recently, that you can't eat the entire watermelon and that the rind does have a lot of nutritious properties. It's considered in the same family as like cucumbers. And you obviously can eat the entire cucumber. It's thicker. People just eat the sweet part, but yep, you can't eat the whole rind and it's very nutritious. I don't necessarily just start biting from the outside, but I will go very deep, into the rind now. I didn't do that before, but I do that now. Let's see. It's supposed to be a natural cure for, erectile dysfunction. So I've been told, and I think that one has been verified through research. Let's see. And he says consuming plantains, that's good, unless I've been misinformed. Plantains generally have to be cooked. You can't eat those raw. And in addition, because, I mean, I guess it could be black people, Africans, not being in touch with their Africanality and all the rest of it. But I mean, I've lived in a lot of places where black people go to grocery shop and you might have a really difficult time getting plantains. And passion fruit, papaya, plums, avocado. I know as someone who grew up on the East Coast that I did not start eating a lot of like fresh avocados until I moved to the West Coast, because I just don't remember them being as plentiful. I mean, avocados are pretty easy to obtain in California, and they're cheap. You can get like organic avocados for not, you know, a lot cheaper than you can in many other places, because they grow right there in California, Mexico, even in Washington State. You can get avocados here for much, much cheaper than you can a lot of other places, if they are available at all. Control of your food production. He says the main object is to eat as natural as possible and as much raw food as possible. Period. That is one I can bang. That makes a whole lot of sense. That is articulated in many, 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 many other books on food and health and nutrition. It seems that one has lasted for some decades, where the same basic tenet, cooking is a form of processing, but trying to do little cooking, eating fresh fruits, organic fresh fruits, vegetables. Obviously, I promote being plant-based, vegan, but eating fresh fruits and vegetables and whole wheat items, legumes, you can get your nuts and what have you. That's what I've been doing for quite some time now. Has worked well for me, lots of other folks. Big advocate of that. It does not have to be very difficult to eat well and eat foods that you enjoy. Let's see. Let's see. Cooking with colors, getting lots of fresh fruits and vegetables generally would mean including lots of different colors in the diet. I think there's been lots of data to back that as well, and that, in fact, getting more color from fresh fruits and vegetables and not all the goofy, wacky food colorings. Dr. Lathan talked about that specifically in avoiding all of those dyes and chemicals that they'll put in like Cheetos and all the rest of it. If you drink a lot of sodas, you absolutely are getting a whole lot of food coloring and dyes and all those concoctions and things. Even meat products a lot of time. I know like salmon and some other things that they'll use food coloring to give it that pink color, because sometimes it'll be white or it'll be a different color, the salmon. Getting color from natural fresh produce, getting those greens in, the cabbage, the collard greens, the squash that he talked about, and get some of those yellows and all of that. Super recommended on diversifying when you're able to get beets. Papayas, the beets, they can be orange, they can be the red ones, the kind of dark purplish papaya, yellow, oranges, getting all those different fruits, vegetables. You can think of the colors as representing different nutrients. I think that's the way a lot of people represent it, and why you want to try and get as many diverse veggies in there as possible. I think one thing that I've read during the middle of the so-called corona pandemic, they've said that people generally have not been eating as many vegetables because people don't eat as many vegetables when they cook at home as compared to when they go out. I had never heard that before, but I, you know, sat with it for a moment and thought, and I thought of what the way that I used to cook and shop before I was plant-based vegan, and I said, oh yeah, that is absolutely true. Like, yeah, way feel like I was not going through with some diverse rainbow of fruit. Yes, let me get my chard and my kale and broccoli and cauliflower and beets and all the rest of it and a nice rainbow of not at all. Let's see. He says that, let me make sure I get the whole thing. Cooking alters food. This causes food to become synthetic, poisonous concoction that destroys humans to the same degree that it has been destroyed. In other words, you destroy the food and the food destroys you. It is nature's revenge. I just put a question mark there. I don't know that I want to think about it in that way, that nature is taking revenge on my body for destroying the food that I did not grow. Right. I don't even know many times, like people that are not informed, I don't even know how this was produced. I don't know where it came from, who produced it. Sometimes, yeah, it might just be plopped down because you have some people, they don't even get to select their food. If you're a child, often you don't get to select what food you're going to get. Somebody, a parent or someone at school or what have you, bam, they just plop it down in front of you a lot of times without asking. I know that was me. You don't have any control over it. So you get, you know, whatever this stuff is to eat. It's called food. And then it's revenge on me, because that's what happens for a whole lot of folks. All of these problems with Nutricide, it starts as a child. So nature is taking revenge on a child. That's just not the way that I would think about it. It's you are a victim. You are being exploited and mistreated. It starts even before you're born and just continues all the way to the grave, whether it's going to be a long time or a short time. But people lying to you, even lying to you about what food is, what you should eat. And then they don't give you access to the quality foods. They make it really expensive at Whole Foods. And then they might give you nasty looks if you go in there. Let's see. Okay, the portion, catch AIDS, catch a cold, catch an infection, catch ignorance. Now, this is the portion that I was talking about. Like, now, this might be dangerous. We're in the middle of the so-called COVID pandemic. I know we have a significant number of Cows listeners. You don't believe that that's the case. No problem. Talk about that on the compensatory call-in. No problem. The guest that we had on this week, Dr. Sylvia Hood Washington, Professor Renelia E. Randall, both authors, victims of racism, both black females. They were both with us the last 2 days. They did not take deposition. This is serious. They encourage that we take it seriously. As such, I would have to seriously think now, wow, saying there's no such thing. Bodily cleansing is what Caucasians erroneously call catching a contagious viral or bacterial disease. Now I have to think about that. Wow. Now we're in the middle of this worldwide. It's not like this is just the U.S. thing, North America thing. This is worldwide. The entire continent of Africa is responding right now to COVID-19. They are not taking the position that we are within our Africanality, our African diet and our African mind. And that is foolishness about some contagion, and the body is just going through a cleansing process. That is not the position that they're taking at all. They have closed their borders. They got locked down. In fact, they have federally coordinated plans in places like South Africa and Uganda and Nigeria. All over the continent, no one has taken the position that, oh no, this is just bodily cleansing, there's no virus. What am I to make of that? Moving, and again, I am not a doctor. I do not have all of the medical expertise of Dr. Sylvia Hood Washington, Renelia Randall. I am still learning myself. He could be completely correct, 1,000%. I am just pointing out, in the middle of all of this, no one on the continent seems to be functioning from that perspective, that this is all some hooey. The folks who are in charge, quote unquote, borders are shut. They are taking this seriously. Unless I've been in error. Folks, if there are folks who are aware of another position, that position does exist on the continent. People have, if so, we're not worried about all this. We're not shutting down borders. You don't catch a virus. Speak up, please. Let's see. All of that said, food is, you know, majorly important. I think that's been pointed out throughout with the COVID situation. That's why we're reading this book. They have been talking about obesity. That has been very clear and central worldwide in what has been said about this. Folks who are eating bad foods and a whole lot of nonsense and Cheetos and dyes and things that are edible and are not even food. You're not eating the plantains and chard and kale and broccoli and cauliflower. That's not on your menu for every day. Oh, yeah. You probably are going to have some difficulties with this. Let's see. Let That's the 106. He says Africans cannot compromise their health and be healthy. They cannot accept part of the Caucasian health science without getting damaged from part of that science. I paused there because I said last week, Dr. Africa on his website has his certifications and his extensive research and what he's done to train and, you know, become an acclaimed author and all of this. Fantastic. However, it seems that he has studied with some white people. I don't know if that qualifies as accepting white science. There are white people who teach about and talk about some of these same concepts, particularly with food and not cooking and raw diets and all of that. It's a lot of white people who add it. It's not black people like looking like Dr. Africa who are filling up Berkeley Bowl and Whole Foods. Not that they don't have black stores like that, but I mean, it's lots of white establishments like that. So it's a lot of white people that talk about that. And it seems he may have studied with some of these folks. Just pointing that out. Continuing. The contagious disease religious belief supports the Caucasian fear of germs, and this fear economically supports the industries that produce chemicals to kill essential germs on and in the body with toothpaste, antibiotic soap, deodorants, feminine hygiene sprays, douches, blah, blah, blah. I do think that that is hugely important. I think this country, the so-called U.S., I think we spend like more money on like deodorants and a lot of the products that he mentioned than a lot of places in doing all these things to like control the body. I do agree with that component. This is right below what I just read, the sentence. This supports the belief in purified, bleached white processed foods. They do not trust nature, nor do they trust Africans, because Africans are too close to nature in thought, behavior, spirit, and culture. Did not understand that on like so many levels. Nor do they trust Africans. Trust Africans to do what? Trust them how? Like, white people have kind of bragged for years about trusting white people to cook their food for them, like all over the world, like no thought about poisonings and that sort of thing, even though I'm sure it happened. But I mean, they have bragged about, you know, abusing, terrorizing black people, sometimes their entire families, and then forcing them to come in and cook their food for them. Made whole movies about it, books too. So I mean, what do you mean trust African? And again, trust them to do what? Didn't understand that part of it. And then Africans are too close to nature in thought, behavior, spirit, and culture. I definitely don't understand what he means there. Are you talking about black people on the continent? Are you talking about black people here in North America? Like, what are you talking about? And what does that even mean? Like, break that down majorly. Close to nature in thought, behavior, spirit, and culture. You got on the front cover of the book, Here Lies Mr. and Mrs. Negro. They ate themselves to death. Are they close in, you know, to nature in thought, behavior, spirit, and culture? If black people all over the world have their food source controlled by racists, how are they close in nature, thought, behavior, speech? How? I just didn't understand it. I didn't feel it was explained well at all. Speaking of not understanding, my goodness, do not mistake similarities to mean sameness. The physical or mental similarities between black and white races, only one race. The white race. We do not belong to a race. Continuing. Do not mistake similarities to mean sameness. The physical or mental similarities between the black and white races do not make them like humanity or like in approach to health. For example, one can identify the many similarities or commonalities between the organizational structure, training, and discipline of the United States military and the African Liberation Armies. Halt. What are you talking about? Like, that for somebody who says, man, when folks make comparisons and analogies, pause, let's evaluate the comparison. One can recognize, I gotta read this one slow. One can identify the many similarities or commonalities between the organizational structure, training, and discipline of the United States military and the African Liberation Armies, period. I would not know where to begin citing similarities, commonalities, in the structure, training, and or discipline of the United States military and the African Liberation Armies. I don't even know what, where, who, African Liberation Armies even to compare to the United States military. Like, are you out of your mind? That's the type of thing where I'd say, wow, like, I don't even want to read this book. Like, there is no comparison at all. Like, what are you talking about? Anybody in the known universe who can step forward and even begin to explain such a comparison? What? What? The United States military? If you're talking about the United States military and maybe North Korea, the African Liberation Armies, what? It is plural. Like, are there multiple? Is there like one stationed in? I can't even get started. I can't even get started. If anybody listening live archive, you can explain, you can give some detail, like, man, this Coon Gus, look here, this is the website for the African Liberation Army, or at least one of them. This is the website. This is what they've done for COVID relief. This is their nuclear arsenal program. You can run it down from me. I'm saying, wow, I have been cooning myself to death here. Let me shut up. And yeah, I didn't even know about all of this. I don't think this existed in 1995, 1965, 1985, 1905, 1805. Like, what? When I say references, Jesus Lord, this would have been a great one. References, and I would have learned something. Let's see.
Can I be heard?
Uh-oh, you got one. African Liberation Armies?
No, I was about to say that in my memory, it goes along with the rhetoric of the 1970s and 80s, and it's something that does not exist, to be exact. That's the best answer that I can give you. It actually is something that does not exist. African liberation. The words themselves, they conflict with one another. Africa liberation. There's no such thing. Unless somebody can inform me.
And me. I am still learning.
And then I won't feel compelled to have to turn onto the cows anymore because it wouldn't be relevant to have a context of white supremacy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We could all shut up and just go enroll in the African Liberation Army and we can get this here problem solved. Like, I've been wasting time broadcasting and all this. I can go get in boot camp and yeah, we can get on with the liberation process. That's what I mean, though. Like, I mean, wow. How seriously am I to take this? Like, it can't be. You got constructive information here, and then I got to wade through name calling and all the like, man, there are better books. Just focus on the food. That is more than enough to address, like, man, and with detail, not just throwing stuff out. Like, what do you mean foods that white people have bred? They breed a lot of things, people, food, dogs, all kinds of things. Like, what are you talking about? Just give a little bit more detail. And even the African, like, that could be broken down. Like, you could even make that specific. That could maybe even be two separate books, because I know they do not have the same type of vegetation and growth cycles for produce, fruits and vegetables as they do on the continent, even within the continent. Like, man, if I'm in Eritrea, I certainly am not going to have the same growing patterns and agriculture as if I was in Nigeria. Like, man, that anyway. I could be talking crazy. I've not been to the continent, so maybe none of that is the case. It would certainly seem like, wow, they are way apart. Like, I don't know how it'd be exactly the same. They would have to be eating some different things and growing some different things. Like, I just told you, just being here in Washington State, they don't grow the same things. They don't have the same produce as they do in Mississippi. It's different growing temperatures, different states, areas that you're close to, you're not going to be eating the same thing. So, anywho, the number again is 605-313-5164. the code 564-943-pound. Press star 61 if folks have other thoughts, observations. We only have our one book session today. My voice could not tolerate reading any more than what I had. We had about 45 minutes, and I even felt that was a little too much reading for today. So see if I can read a little bit more next week, and we'll move through it. Again, I will not complain too much because I can't say I'm enjoying the text. To see other folks, any questions, observations, other thoughts that they had while we got through this portion of the reading? I had not heard the phrasing before. A plant that is sickly will reproduce quickly. That is a new one for Gusty. I'll have to ask some other folks, have they heard that one? Is that one in regular use? Is maybe that just folks who have a green thumb and do a lot of time gardening, playing around out in the dirt? That's one that they use on a regular basis, maybe? I don't know. Let's see. The acidic diet, there is a lot of commentary research on that in terms of diets that where you're eating a lot of dairy, a lot of meat products, where you're not eating fruits, fresh fruits, vegetables. There's quite a bit of anything that you like, books, documentaries, our reports online, blogs, journals, all of that, supporting that in trying to really. That can be an environment that can breed illness and disease when your body is really acidic and you're not eating healthy foods, and particularly keeping a lot of waste in your body. Talked about that as well. A lot of waste in the body where you're not getting regular bowel movements, eating more fresh fruits and vegetables, getting that fiber in. Lots of people don't get their fiber. He was talking about you get a excessive amount of protein in the typical Caucasian diet, as he would say, getting a lot or getting too much protein, getting a lot of protein, excessive protein, fiber, and the importance of getting fiber. That's how you get that gut flora that he was talking about, where he said that black people, Africans, have a greater diversity of gut flora, gut bacteria. That is heavily influenced by what you eat. If you're eating cheeseburgers and McDonald's, he was saying that in the book, but if that's what you, if you're eating nonsense, then no, you're not going to have very diverse gut flora. But if you're getting your fiber, you're getting your fresh fruits and vegetables, yes, you can have great gut flora. It will help with digestion. You're not eating all that icky stuff to begin with. Yes, it can be super helpful because lots of people in this area of the world do struggle. They say with constipation, regularity, a lot of that is just you eat a lot of terrible foods. Absolutely. It will mess up your digestion. And yes, you will probably be looking for some Metamucil and all the rest of it. And even that not being able to go regular. Dr. Latha, she calls that low transit time where you are going to the bathroom regularly and it not being something where you eat four or five, six times a day, and then you don't go to the bathroom until, you know, the next morning or something like that. Like, you should be going to the bathroom regularly about every time that you eat. It should not be something where, you know, you have eaten 3, 4, 5, 8 times and then maybe you get to 11 o'clock at night and then, oh, okay, now it's ready for a bowel movement. Like, it should not be like that at all. Let's see. Anything else? Make sure. Get in here. Yeah, it would be, I would just, I've already given, you know, my thoughts, the portion, like I said, about the contagions and what, you know, he's labeling a virus. I'm not a medical doctor, so I could be 1,000% in error in just not recognizing the brilliant scholarship of Dr. Africa. That could be totally true. But again, I will say, I have not heard that position on the continent. People, you know, raising this book and saying that they are within their Africanality. I've heard nothing even close to that. They have closed their border. Now, maybe, you know, race soldiers have just come in and told them this is what's going to happen. You know, liberated Africans. It could be, but it doesn't seem like that. It seems like they have had their own, you know, little plan about this and saying we are taking this seriously. We are closing the border down and that's that. We're having mandatory stay-at-home orders and all the rest of it throughout the continent. I don't know. That would at least have to be something to give pause. Maybe they are not in their African mind. maybe they have a different understanding of what this medical situation is. Anywho, we are on 110, I think. Make sure. I know we'll pick up at for our study session for next Thursday. Yeah, basically 110, 111. That's what we'll pick up at in the middle of chapter 2. We've read about 25%, a little more than 25% of the book. Man, I don't know. I'm not feeling continuing, but I do not like starting a book and then not finishing it for the book club. So we'll try and see if we can stick it out and persevere. Hopefully my voice will be feeling better and I'll be able to get back to reading normal for a normal duration for next Thursday. But we'll see how it goes. If anybody has any information on the African Liberation Armies, if you have been enrolled, if they came to give you masks or water assistance during the COVID-19 pandemic, man, you need to speak up and have video. That would be great so that we could see it directly. That would be awesome to hear. We should be here tomorrow for Neutralizing Workplace Racism, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Catch up on how all of the craziness with the virus is continuing to impact the workplace. I know for some people, with the reopenings that are beginning, depending on where you are located, or at least talks of reopenings, this has meant, you know, figuring out how folks are going to return to the workplace. That has provided another opportunity for codification for folks to take their safety seriously and say that we're not just going to be all willy nilly back in the office and, you know, high fives and hugs and kisses and all that. Like, whoa, let's slow down. And in fact, maybe we can have a protocol to stagger the return of employees so it's not overpopulated and we'll still do our social distancing and all the rest of it, like being proactive about that in your workplace. We'll talk about that tomorrow, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. Compensatory call in this Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. We'll review what has gone down the last 7 days on the planet. Wow. Crazy times. Everybody satisfied? Make sure we didn't miss anybody. Any extra thoughts before we get ready to wrap up for this week? Spectacular. Hopefully you can use your extra, I don't know, hour and a half constructively for the evening. Hope it was worthy of your Thursday evening. We'll be back in about 24 hours for Neutralizing Workplace Racism. Sobriety would be best. I think that is also a contributor to a more acidic body. Not drinking alcohol, drinking fresh water. Helps with those bowel. I forgot that totally. Talking about transit time. Got to drink water. If you're going to the bathroom, drink more water. We do not need spirits and liquor and beers and all the rest of it. Drink more water. Take care of your brain computer. That will help with a whole lot of things in terms of health and well-being. Drink more water. In addition to being sober, let's be buckled every time we're in a vehicle. Although we probably shouldn't be driving out too many places. Like, yeah, things are still kind of shut down and dicey in many regions. So be strategic if you are going to be venturing out. If you got to have your essential worker permit, piece of paper, what have you, check, make sure that you got that. Anything else that you need, mask, gloves, whatever else that you need to roll with during these times. But just be strategic. I don't think you want to be out recklessly where we could potentially be stopped and harassed and all the rest of it. Like, it would be just mindful of, you know, the climate on the planet currently. In addition to being sober, buckled, every time you're in a vehicle, you are not on a cell phone. Same logic, just doing all the little things to minimize contact with race soldiers under these conditions. With that, Creator, we ask that you help us remain patient with other Black people, victims of white supremacy. We ask that you help us remain patient with ourselves. Remind us to demonstrate the highest levels of Black self-respect at all times, in all places, each and every time we are in contact with another Black person. It has been time. Replace white supremacy with justice immediately. Cal signing out. Thanks all for tuning in.
Nigga, you so brainwashed.
I'm a victim, your brother.
Problem. You're a victim.
Man, I'm a victim of 400 years of conditioning.
Shut up.
The man has programmed my condition. Mm-hmm. Even my conditioning has been conditioned.